Welcome to the second season of Return to Self, a podcast where we use the magic of storytelling to discuss the fascinating, mysterious, exhausting, and sometimes overwhelming journey of remembering who you were before the world taught you who to be. I'm your host, Bruna, a mystic mindset coach and divine channel, among many other things. And during this season, we'll be hearing from various healers about their spiritual journeys, as well as their gifts and their tips for you as you navigate your way back to self. I'll also be closing out each episode with a collective reading to offer guidance for whoever needs it. So sit back, relax, and enjoy as we return to self and remember what we've always known but somehow forgot along the way. Welcome to another episode of the Return to Self podcast. This is a really special one because not only is it the final episode of the second season, it is our first live show. So welcome everybody who is here with me. If you're listening from home, I'm here in LA at La Cherive with a couple of my friends, if they want to say hi. We're enjoying this last episode together. And if you know of the podcast, I really like to start and end podcast solo dolo. So I like to open it with like, this is what's happened since we last talked. And then I close it really liking to reflect on the conversations that we had. So with this particular season, I was like, well, what was like a theme that came up a lot? And it was that I cried a lot. And I was like, okay, this is an emotional season. I cried in my closet quite a bit. But then I was like, I wonder what that was about. And normally with solo episodes, I really like to just wing it. I don't like to pre-plan. I don't like to script. I'm just like, just use me, you know, like, let's just see what happens. And don't worry, I didn't do that tonight. I actually have something to talk about. But what was funny is even with writing, when the headline or the title of something comes really quickly, I'm like, oh, okay, that's something I was always meant to talk about. It's going to come effortlessly. And that's what happened here. And so the title came immediately. And the title is Facing the Feeling. Because that's what I feel I did for this last season during all of these conversations. It was actually facing the feeling as opposed to doing what I always talk about, intellectualizing the feelings. So this journey that we're about to go on right now started with a high thought that I had. So it's okay. We're green friendly. I need you to keep up, okay? Because there's lots of twists and turns in this thought process. But I found it really interesting. And because a lot of these moments happen when I'm by myself with my cat at home and I'm just like staring at the wall like, huh, you know, I wonder. I wanted to share it with you. So I'm sitting on my couch in my PJs with Jackson. Straddling dimensions, if you will. And I started thinking about feelings as one does, or at least as I do. And then I started thinking of the senses, like the five senses that we learn about as kids. And I was like, okay, sight, hearing, taste, touch, smell. We learn about them. We prioritize them. We know that we have them for survival. So I'm thinking about that. And I was like, huh. You can lose senses and be okay. You know, there are people who don't have all five senses. And they're okay. They're functioning. They're alive. And I'm thinking like at the bare basic definition of alive, not fulfillment and joy. I'm just thinking like on a physiological level, you're alive. And then I was like, technically you can lose all five senses and still be alive. You know, your body doesn't automatically shut down if you lose all five senses. And I was like, that's so weird. Like, we talk about our five senses so much and we base our survival on our five senses. But technically, you could lose all five senses and your body's immediate response isn't shut down. You know, like, and our bodies were so uniquely designed and designed by a higher intelligence. So you would think that that's something they'd consider, you know, like, oh, well, if they can't see, smell, taste, touch, or hear, they're good. Like, they're still okay. Like, you can still be around. So then that led me to think, okay, well, what's keeping us alive? And I was like, well, our mind is still working. Our heart's still working. And we still have feelings, you know, we can still feel. And then I was like, but we don't prioritize that in the same way we prioritize the health of our sight or our hearing or whatever else. We're just barely now starting to talk about mental health and about what I guess would be the equivalent of going to like an eye doctor or an ear doctor, which would be like therapy, right? A feelings doctor, if you will. But that's still not something that you would just like come out the gate and talk about with someone. It's not at that comfort level. It's not something that people would just openly discuss. Like, could you imagine if you were just like having dinner with the family and someone asked, what'd you do today? And you said, I went to the dentist. And they were like, what? I didn't know you were thinking about seeing a dentist. And you're like, yeah, it's been a while. I was thinking, you know, my teeth are getting pretty bad. I should probably go to the dentist. And they're like, well, I kind of wish you would have talked to me first. What did you do? What did you talk about? Did you talk about me? Is it all my fault? I did the best I could. You know, like there's so many things that would come up if you said I went to therapy that no one gives a shit about if you say you go to the dentist. And to me, when I think about that, I'm just like, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that the parts of ourselves that technically keep us alive are the parts of ourselves that we don't even think about or don't want to talk about or don't want to address or don't want to heal. But everything else, the senses that we were taught for survival, are not even a big deal. It's expected of you. Like, it's not weird if you go to the dentist. It's weird if you don't go to the dentist. And so it was really interesting to dissect that. And then I was like, that's kind of sad. Because at some point you realize that there's a reason we don't feel comfortable talking about that stuff. There's a reason why we hesitate to even seek that kind of health and attention and care to begin with. And I always wonder, like, when did that start? You know, when did that start? Because if you think about like when you were a baby, you were born, and literally the first sound that the doctor is hoping to hear from you to make sure you're alive is a cry. That is the first sound you make coming into this world, is crying. And that's the first sign that you are healthy and alive. And then you just keep doing that shit for a while. Allegedly, I don't have kids, but from what I've heard. And you don't care. Like, you don't care that you're being loud or inconvenient or too much or whatever. You're like, I can't do shit by myself. I need you to understand I need you right now. And that's perfectly okay. That's expected of you. It's expected for you to emote because you are completely dependent. And then you get a little older, and now you're like this little kid, and everything is magical and wonderful. And now you don't shut up because you're learning how to speak and you're learning how to talk, and you just want to talk about everything that you did that day or how you're feeling or what you ate or what you saw. And you have so many questions. And every time someone answered, you're like, why? And then you just keep talking and keep talking because you learn these 10 new words and now you want to share it with whoever's going to listen because you don't get to have conversations all the time. So you're literally like word vomit because it's that exciting. I want to tell you everything. And then something happens. Something in that next stage of life happens that makes you shut that down. And you might think, well, Bruna, it's different. As a baby, you're completely dependent. You need to let people know for your survival. And as a kid, you're still dependent. You need to let people know for your survival. And what I'm telling you is still you need to let people know for your survival. Because we keep forgetting that that is what's keeping us alive. But something happens that you're like, oh, nope. Whatever I'm feeling, I never want to feel again. And that is my decision. And that's what we're doing moving forward. And that's crazy to me. Because I'm just like, what was it? You know, like, what was that moment that made me feel like I never want to feel again? What was it that made feelings the thing to be scared of? And I can't remember mine, but I'm guessing it was pretty bad because it's been tough. For a long time, I was like, I'm just going to think. You know, thinking is nice and safe. Got some thinkers in the room. I know. Yeah, it became a life of thinking instead of feeling. And that became a whole other journey because you realize that you're constantly having experiences, right? And with every experience, it's emitting information and energy to you. And you're absorbing it in some form or fashion. So I'm absorbing it, but it's coming in. I'm getting it. Feeling it. I'm like, okay. And then I stop it right here. I'm not letting it go any further. And my body's waiting. Like, I know something just happened. So give us the deets. Like, give us the activation codes of this energy. And I'm like, nope, we're stopping right here. And at first it's really convenient because then you have things to think about because it's almost like there's a block party happening, right? People are coming and it's getting a little loud and there's music, but it's fun because you have like a distraction and there's always something going on until it doesn't stop. And you're like, all right, it's getting too loud. It's getting too crazy. Now you're just annoying me. Like now I can't stop hearing things. It's never quiet. There's always something to think about. And again, thinking or intellectualizing the feeling is much safer. It's nice when things make sense. You can like label it, you can categorize it, you can put it in its different area and its box. And you're like, okay, done. And then something else happens. You're like, ooh, I don't get that. I'm just gonna, we'll talk about that later. So I was thinking about that and I was thinking how it just stops here. And because of that, I never got to embody the knowledge of what I was getting, embody the information I was getting. Because up here, it's just cool. It's in my head and it's living there for a while, but the rest of my body's like, what's going on? You know, where is it? And then I started thinking about how I can literally feel it stop here. The throat chakra, if you will. And then I was like, that's interesting. Because we call our teeth like pearly whites, right? That's a thing, right? Okay. And then we talk about the gates of heaven as the pearly gates. This is a high thought, remember. This is one stream of consciousness. So I'm like thinking about feelings and stuff. And I was like, wait, pause over here. That's interesting. We call the gates to heaven the pearly gates. We call our teeth the pearly whites. And then I started thinking, well, what if opening the pearly gates is actually expression? And what if heaven and hell are not places you find, but they're a state of mind? And so what if heaven is my heart and hell is actually in the mind? And when I'm stuck in the mind, I'm creating a hell for myself. But if I were to open up and express myself and talk about my feelings and talk about what I need and talk about what's on my heart, I open up the gates to heaven by letting that flow through me, by letting it process, by letting it become embodied in me. And I really do believe that heaven on earth is a thing, but I don't think we'll get there until we are feeling safe enough to access that type of vulnerability, that type of energy. So then I started thinking about that and I was like, man, that's crazy. Judgment Day is every day. And Judgment Day is in your mind, and it's actually your conscious that's judging you. And so every day is Judgment Day, and you get to decide, am I staying in hell or am I going to open the gates to heaven? A lot of us don't do that. And what's crazy is we don't do it because we think we're keeping ourselves safe. And that's the hilarious part, because in doing what you think you needed to be safe, you're actually killing yourself. Because that's not the threat. At some point, you convinced yourself that feelings are too threatening, and that's the threat. So you're trying to survive from feeling, but it's the feeling that keeps you alive. So how does that work? I used to tell my therapist that I hated when people would tell me, I was just protecting your feelings. And I'm like, bitch, no, you weren't. First of all, you can't. Like, you literally cannot protect my feelings. You don't even know what I'm feeling. How can you protect what you don't know? And also, if you really gave a shit about my feelings, you wouldn't do something that my feelings needed protection from. But it happens. And so I told her, you know, I hate when people tell me that because I know it's a lie. And sometimes I know it's a lie before they do, you know? Because they really convince themselves, no, I'm protecting her. And I'm like, you're not. Because first of all, have you met me? Like, I know you're lying. I know when anyone is lying. I read cards. I read energy. Like, you can't lie to me. It's just, it's not possible. And if you do lie to me, it's usually because I let you. And I know that sounds super arrogant, but also, like, I'm not lying. So if you're lying to me, it's because I let you. And so then your lie becomes mine. Because now I'm lying to protect myself from the reality of the situation. And so I was expressing, like, how much that would annoy me, because I'm like, they're not lying to protect me. They're lying to protect themselves. Because I know what I give. And I know that people don't want to see the consequences of their action or see the reflection of their actions through me. So it's not about me. You don't want to face your feelings through me, because we all do that with each other. It's not that we so much don't want to be honest with people. It's that if we know if we're honest with someone else, we are going to see and feel the feelings of whatever we just did or said or didn't do. And we don't want to deal with that. Ugh, feelings? No. But then we're all lying, right? We're either lying to protect ourselves, lying to protect the situation. And so this whole theme of protection, what are you really protecting yourself from? Because what you're doing to protect yourself is actually hurting you more. And I had to ask myself that question. You know, anytime I would say, I'm protecting myself, I'm protecting my heart. And I'd be like, am I? Like, but how? And so you realize that, like, it's not about protecting your feelings. It's about trusting your feelings. And you might be like, Bruna, I can't trust my feelings. I'd be like, I know. I know you can't. Because how can you trust something you don't know? You have to spend time with your feelings. You have to even recognize your feelings to begin with in order to start building a bond, to start building trust with that, just like you would with another human being. And so then my mind went to another scenario. I'm like, huh, you got to spend time with your feelings to trust them. So it's kind of like, you know, having a roommate that you can't stand. And it kind of is, because you're like, you know, we're both under one roof. We share the same house, but I can't stand them. So I try to like always not be around when they're around, you know, sidestep them. And I definitely am not going to leave like my valuable shit around them because I don't trust them. But at some point you have to make a decision about what you're going to do with that, because they're never going to move out because they're living in their parents' property. So they don't have to pay rent. Like, and this is a really nice area and it's exactly where you wanted to be, but they're not going to go because they got it made. This is where they're at. And you came over here because you really needed to be here, because you had these dreams you wanted to go and get. You wanted this certain life and this is where you needed to be. And the rent's not so bad. I mean, the maintenance is a little tedious and sometimes it gets annoying, but when you really think about it, you're like, I mean, it's not a bad deal. I get to be here. I get to be where I needed to be, where I wanted to be in order to experience the things that I wanted to experience. And the rent that I pay is taking care of this space and being able to cohabitate with this roommate. That makes me a little uncomfortable sometimes, but not uncomfortable in like a you're not safe way, uncomfortable in a just, I know that if I sit and get to know you, I'm going to have to talk about things that I don't want to talk about. I know that you're going to see things in me that I'm trying not to see. But you got to make that decision. And chances are, if you want to stay here in this gorgeous two-bedroom loft apartment with a view, then you really got to think to yourself, well, you know what? Maybe I should try to at least make it so it's not so uncomfortable. But in order to do that, you really got to spend time and you got to be consistent and you have to nurture each other. You really have to put in that effort and that energy. And that's the part we don't want to do because it's fucking exhausting, and I get it. Emotions are incredibly inconvenient, in my opinion. However, we have them. And so you realize like, okay, I really got to spend time with my feelings. And then when you do make that decision, and I was going to say if, but I'm going to stick with when, because I am hopeful that everyone comes to that decision at some point in their life when they're just like, whatever I'm doing isn't working. So I need to just face the feeling. And then you realize our divinity lives within our humanity. Even if you just look at the chakras, which I know some of you are like, yeah, chakras. And some of you are like, what? That's okay. But when you think of the chakras, you know, a lot of people associate the top three, your crown, your third eye, your throat chakra, with the beyond, you know, the unseen, the ethereal, the divine. And they're always trying to get there. You know, they want to focus there. And the lower three chakras, the root, the sacral, the solar plexus, are all about this realm, the earthly realm. It's about who you are in this world. And then, of course, the heart is right in the middle. And so you realize that the heart is the bridge between your divinity and your humanity, and that they're actually all coexisting together. Again, if you open the gates to allow that to pass through. The heart is the bridge to being divine. Your feelings are what make you divine because they're what keep you alive.
This podcast is brought to you by Citizens of Sound, a one-stop shop for your podcasting needs. Citizens will help you with conceptualization, design, production, editing, and distribution. Whether you're an artist, business owner, health and fitness coach, actor, public speaker, or yoga instructor, podcasting can be used as a tool to grow your influence, business, and platform. Visit citizensofsound.com to start your podcast today.
Then I was just thinking, like, man, imagine they taught this shit in school. And then I was quickly like, of course they didn't teach it in school. Like, we can't know this. Could you imagine? Like, could you imagine the types of people we would be if we learned about this the same way we learned about our senses? If we talked about this in school, if we had techniques on how to self-soothe, if we learned about our nervous system, if we learned about how to identify and talk about our emotions. We didn't learn that, as you know. And listen, I still believe that we always get the knowledge that we're meant to have. Whatever we're meant to know, we know. We already know. We just become conscious of it. And that's not to discount going out and seeking specific knowledge, but that's the point. It's that the seed is planted at some point and you go and you get the knowledge. We're always like being breadcrumbed along this journey, which means you always have the decision to take it and continue to move towards it, or to just be like, you know what? I'm sick of bread. Like, I'm just going to chill here wherever I'm at. You always have the decision. Because I mean, for me, I know for some of you, you're probably thinking like, she probably talked about feelings all day, every day, her entire life. And I'm like, no. I was crying. You guys at this point know I cry all the time. Okay. It's fine. I've accepted it about myself. It doesn't always mean I'm sad. It's not always a sad thing. For me, crying is just the intensity of whatever I'm feeling. And that can be any emotion. That can be gratitude. That can be joy. That can be anger. But if I'm feeling it up here, it's happening. And I didn't grow up knowing what to do about that. You know, I didn't know how to identify my emotions. I didn't know how to speak about my emotions. I didn't know how to feel, how to self-soothe, how to know when, no, this is my nervous system being overwhelmed and I need to breathe, like I'm not breathing, you know, all of these different things. And yet, here I am, talking about it all the time. And then I started getting into human design because I just like looking into all kinds of shit like that. And of course, my entire profile is like feelings, feelings, feelings. You got to feel your feelings. You are all about feeling. Your feeling is your superpower. And I'm like, ugh, so annoying. But it is funny to think that like, that was what I did not want to do, feel. And yet this is the trajectory of my life. Is sitting here literally talking about feelings to a group of people and studying them and then putting myself through the things that I study so that I can help the people who seek me out for help. Isn't that crazy? Like you always end up where you're supposed to be and you just don't realize it. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. And then I started thinking about the last 2 years. Woof, right? I don't have to tell you, you guys lived it. But I was like, man, why? You know, like, what the fuck was that? And it's still happening, but like, you know what I mean. And sure, maybe that's another coping mechanism and me trying to find the meaning to like feel okay about it. But I feel like there are way worse coping mechanisms, so I'm okay with that. You know, like I'm okay. If me finding the meaning of life is my coping mechanism, then I'm very okay with that. But I was thinking about the last 2 years and I was like, why did that happen? And not one specific thing, just like everything, you know, because it was definitely something where it was back to back, back to back, back to back. We did not have time to grieve the loss of so many different things. There was a lot of death in the last 2 years, figuratively and literally, in so many different ways. And we didn't even have the time to sit with that. We didn't have the time to process it. We didn't have the time to embody that. And when I was thinking about that, the first thing that came to mind was maybe we needed to see collectively like how far we had to go until we were finally fed up and let ourselves feel something again. Like, what's it gonna take? And not to just feel something for yourself, although that's absolutely gonna happen, but to feel something for everyone around you. Because no one was safe these last 2 years. Like every single country, something was happening. And it was just kind of like, okay. It felt like the world was literally like, there's the edge and we are pushing it. What's it gonna take? What's it gonna take for you to finally surrender? What's it gonna take for you to feel something again? What's it gonna take for you to feel, for some, for you to feel something more than anger? Because anger is it's a great one. Okay, don't get me wrong. Has a lot of information. But that's still skating the surface. And that's not to say anger is easy, because some of us even have trouble recognizing that we're angry. But when you do get to the anger, you realize it's a pretty socially acceptable emotion, especially for men. You know, anger is fine. You can be angry. No one's going to question anything. And then you realize that anger is protecting the feelings that you don't feel safe feeling openly or being public about. So I just felt like, what's it going to take? What's it going to take for everyone to get their shit together? Which of course means looking within, right? You change the world by really taking inventory, taking accountability for yourself. And I was just like, man, these are questions worth asking. You know, this is your life. And you only get one now. You know, one as the you that you are right now. Like, I only have one life as Bruna. So, like, who do I want her to be? Like, what do I want her to experience? How do I want her to show up in the world? What are the memories I want her to leave with people? And really, like, being intentional about that. And then I realized, well, no wonder people always say you can't save anyone. You can only save yourself. Because no one can feel for you. And it's feeling the feelings that save you. Because it opens shit up. It clears shit up. It gives you more access. It activates shit. Literally, I believe. Your tears hold divine wisdom. We know that water holds divine wisdom. And this is coming straight from you. There is something with that. And that's the key, you know, is feeling the feelings. That's the key. And that's why they always say you had it. Because no one's going to that for you. Especially if you're doing this the whole time. You have to be the one to turn the key. You have to be the one to do the scary thing of feeling so that you can actually live. Because if you're living here, that's not living. Because you're in here. You're not even here. Do you hear? You got to feel to really live. But if you do give yourself that opportunity, you realize you might meet someone you really like. You start to spend time with yourself. You start to almost reintroduce yourself to yourself, or at least to parts of yourself that you forgot about or that you never took the time to know. And yes, of course, there are going to be moments where you're like, oh, I can't stand her. But then there are moments like, I kind of fuck with you. You're cool. And then you're kind of like, I want to spend more time with you. I want to learn more about you. I want to nurture you. I want to love you. I want to take care of you. Because it took a lot of work even just to get here. So I'm not leaving again. I'm taking care of you. And then you realize that this part of you that you're growing to love was you the whole time. And you would have never known that if you didn't face the feeling. So, I have a poem. It's not my own. Maybe next time. But it is by one of my favorite poets, and I felt like it was very fitting. I'm hoping I can read this. Don't have my glasses on. I got it. So this is a poem by Rumi. And I believe it's called The Guest House. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows, who violently sweep your house empty of all its furniture. Still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice. Meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. So, that is the podcast for this final episode. And now we're going to move into a collective reading. You guys are probably familiar with me doing this. So, you know, take what resonates, leave what doesn't, blah, blah, blah. You get it. I normally use the Psychic Tarot Oracle deck, but I wanted to use the Work Your Light deck because this was the first deck I got myself. And I thought I was just getting a deck for my own enjoyment, and little did I know, 'twas not the case. I got the deck, and I got it because I actually used to be afraid of cards. As a kid, I always shuffled with cards. I played with cards all the time, so it's kind of like obvious that this is something I would do. In hindsight, But any sort of like metaphysical kind of cards or tarot, I was like, oh no, it's okay, thanks. I'm good. And then I saw these and I was like, well, these are kind of cute. I really like the artwork. It was very light and airy. And I'd been wanting cards. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go get these cards. So I went, got these cards, started pulling cards for myself every single morning and just seeing what would come up. And then I remember I posted on my Instagram story. And some guy from high school, who I wasn't even friends with in high school, but somehow we follow each other on Instagram. And he was like, can you give me a reading? And I was like, no, I don't do that. Little did I know. I was like, no, really, I don't do that. He was like, no, it's okay. Even just for fun, like, can you just pull some cards for me and tell me what comes up? And I was like, I mean, I guess. So I was like, I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, okay. So I pulled some cards, sent him some voice notes on Instagram. Like, all right, so this is what I'm getting. Brrr, like, whatever. And he was like, wow, you literally nailed it. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. Probably like a one-time thing. People started coming in. Hey, can you do a reading? Can you do that? And I was like, what are you guys doing? This is not something I offer. At some point, I just started doing like donation-based readings on Instagram because this was during the pandemic. So I was just like, well, a girl's got to make some money. So I was like, you know, this will give me good practice. And that way, like, if you think I'm full of shit and I disappointed you, you don't have to give me anything. You know, we don't lose. After about 50 readings where everyone was like, I never told anyone that. How did you know that? Da, da, da. I was like, wait a minute. I think I'm tapping into something. And so as most of my journey has been, a lot of this started with just the confidence of being seen in my gifts, even recognizing these gifts, recognizing that this is something I'm capable of doing. And that I enjoy to do, and then doing it. And since then, I've done countless readings, and it's been such a beautiful experience. So since tonight is special, I wanted to bring her out. And we'll just see what's coming up. So again, this is a collective reading for anyone who is listening to this. So whether you are hearing this later, whether you're in this room, whatever that might be, use your discernment. Oh, and don't kill the messenger. All right, Spirit, what message do we need at this time? Please and thank you. Okay. We definitely are. Make sure I'm not giving you another kind of show real quick. All right. Well, this is fitting. Of course it is. See, now you're going to think that I'm just going to say what we've already been talking about because that's what we've been talking about. But we got play, have fun, celebrate, don't be so serious. I feel like we're doing that right now. We got share your voice, come out the cave, persecution, expression, literally what I've been talking about this entire time, and protection. Call back your power, cut the cords, soul retrieval. So you know what, whatever, it's my show, fuck it. If you think I'm full of shit, that's fine. This is literally what we were just talking about. And that's why we got these cards. There is a sense, and I mean, I know I heard some of you agree with me as I was talking, but there is a sense that something was said throughout this last hour-ish that hit home for someone. there is something about feeling the need to protect yourself so deeply that you have actually stopped yourself from experiencing life in the way that you were always meant to experience it. And so now what you've been protecting yourself from isn't even the threat. The threat is you, because you're the one holding yourself back. And what's crazy is all you have to do, this is going to sound so demeaning, is lighten up. I need that too. That play energy, that joy. Oh, I'm burping. See, they're talking. It's like the most unladylike form of confirmation. I think for someone who resonates with this reading, there's a lot of energy of feeling like, because you've carried the weight of being the adult, even when you weren't the adult, it's hard to let that label go. Especially now that you are the adult, you're like, well, shit, I never got to play. So I know what life is like without playing. So I don't even, play doesn't even feel right. What does that even mean at this age? Because now, I mean, I can be mad at the people that didn't take care of me the way that I needed and made me step in to take care of myself and them. But I don't have anyone to point the finger at now, so I don't have time to play. I got to continue this role. And you're being reminded that you're doing it in a way that is actually not serving what's best for you, because you did it when you were younger to protect yourself. You did it as a way to make sure that you weren't going to get swept into whatever was going on around you. But that's not happening anymore. And so you need to detach yourself from that. You need to share your voice, that persecution. Come out of the gate. Actually, it says cave. I was thinking of her pearly whites. Whatever, it works. But even if you look at her, I know you guys probably can't really see. But you know she's sad sitting in that cave by herself, just looking aimlessly. And what does she have to cross? It's okay, you can say it. What does she have to cross? Water. Yes, emotions. Water is the element of our emotions. Yeah, there's even a conversation that might need to happen with someone specific. And it's almost like it feels like a liberating conversation. It's the type of conversation where it's putting something to bed. Something that is exactly what's been holding you back from experiencing life the way that you deserve to experience it. And the thing with stuff like this is you know it because you feel it. That's why you get mad about it, because there's a part of you that's telling you this is not right. This isn't actually how it's supposed to be or how it needs to be. But you got to be the one to change that. Yeah, there's definitely something that needs to be let go of. The protection feels very, what's the word? It feels very voluntary. It's something you've convinced yourself is in dire need, when in reality, it's not even happening anymore. And so letting that go and tapping back into the freedom and the space that that can create when you let go of it is going to create room for you to be able to play, because now you're not feeling so heavy. Now you're not drowning in this energy that you never even had to carry. Bottom of the deck, we got trust the niggle. Exactly. That niggling feeling. That's that feeling. That's what I was just talking about. It's that feeling inside that keeps kind of poking at you. What is it that you are not acknowledging? What is it that you do this with? Nope. Next time. We're kind of coming to a time right now collectively where you got to decide. You got to decide what you want to do. What's the life you're trying to live? And again, whatever you decide is perfect for you, because no one gets to decide for you. But if you're always going to have that feeling of, then maybe it's time to choose something different. And maybe you'll surprise yourself. Because maybe everything that has been stopping you from making that choice is just up here. It's not even reality. But you hold on to it. And you don't realize you hold on to it because it's subconscious. But your ego loves it because that means we don't have to change anything. And it loves some routine. It loves to know what's happening. And if that's working for you, listen, if you like it, I love it. But if you don't, do something about it because you can. Top of the card, break the chain. Ancestral patterns, healing, rewriting the future. 1000%. I always feel as a Lebanese immigrant, the most beautiful gift I can give my ancestors is living my life to the utmost degree because they're experiencing it with me in every moment. They're feeling everything I'm feeling. So the sacrifices that they went through, like when you think about that, the amount of people before you who had to ensure their survival in order for you to even be here right now is not meant for you to continue that pattern of just living to survive. They did it so that they can live through you. But you got to open it up. You got to face the feeling. So that is the final episode of the Return to Self podcast. Thank you guys so much for coming. Thank you, La Cherie, for hosting the space. Thank you, Katya's Cuisine, aka my mother, for cooking for all of us. And thank you guys for joining me. And we'll see you next season. That does it for this week's episode of Return to Self. Thank you for sharing this time with us and for your constant support. If you loved what you heard, take a moment to rate, subscribe, and comment on our podcast to help spread the word. If you're interested in working with me, you can check out my healing services at www.brunanesif.com. That's www.brunanesif.com. And don't forget to join our community at www.returntoself.me. Until next time, take care of yourself.